He just danced for like an hour. Hey everyone, welcome to Two Scrums Up, a podcast by Ally. My name is Ken Medley, and I am an agile process leader here at Ally, joined by my ridiculously awesome co-host, Mr. John Ragazine.
You're half right. Hey everybody, it's John Ragazine, Director of Agile Process here at Ally, and this podcast is a way for us to share some of our Agile and Scrum experience and findings, and maybe learn some stuff from you all as well. It's pretty exciting. We were talking earlier about what we should cover for today. Ken, you were in the backlog and you found something that you really wanted to dig into today. That's right.
Yeah. This topic came up a few months ago. And ever since then, I've kind of been just stewing on it, just thinking about it. And that is this idea of hunting for impediments.
Oh.
Yeah. As Scrum Masters, it's really easy, I think, to remove impediments when the team makes them very obvious. You know, when we hear things like, hey, I need more information on this ticket, or this thing isn't clear, or I can't get a hold of the stakeholder, right? The Scrum Master is really quick to jump on those things and we can remove those impediments right away. One of the things, though, that I find a little more difficult, which I think separates like a good Scrum Master from a great Scrum Master, is this idea of removing impediments before the team even knows that they have them. So that's just sort of what I wanted to chat about today. And I know you have some experience with that, John. So do I. And I thought it'd be cool just to kind of go through our list here and share some ideas and things that have come up throughout our careers.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. You know, as you were talking about when there's an impediment, you know, it's obvious to have it removed. You know, it's kind of like it's easy to fish when they jump in your boat. But when you have to actually like ferret them out and find it, it becomes a little bit more of an activity, even though I'm using fishing as like an action activity, and it's kind of not. But you get the idea. It's tricky because there are, you know, definitely layers and levels of impediments. There's the super obvious ones. There's the ones where someone's like, I am blocked on this item, right? Like, I have questions or I don't know what this ticket means. And then they bring it to you and then you work to facilitate it, right? Then there's the, like, you kind of see what's going on, but people aren't bringing it up to you level, sort of like that, like just at the surface or just under the surface level. And then there's the like really subterranean, like there are issues that no one's even aware of. So you have to like know to look, then look and try to make them appear when no one's aware of them and then facilitate a fix, you know?
Yeah. I kind of touched on some of the easy ones that I've seen throughout my career is the blatantly obvious. I am stuck on this thing. The ones that I sort of noticed that is happening and everybody knows it's happening, but nobody is saying anything, is usually, in my experience, I've noticed it is conflict within the team.
Oh, interpersonal stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of like we all know something's happening, or we're just not saying it. So it could be like interpersonal conflict stuff on the team, or hey, management has set some unrealistic expectations, but their management, I don't want to say anything. What do I do? You know, the stakeholders not happy. You know, it's sort of these like sort of we all know it's happening, but nobody's saying anything. And in those situations, I think it's the job of hopefully anyone on the team. It doesn't have to be the Scrum Master, but somebody to stand up with courage and just say, hey, am I the only one that's kind of sensing this? Does anybody else notice this or see this? Even if it's just that, just to get the conversation started.
Yeah. So much of this sort of like hunting for impediments is just like saying something out loud and seeing if people agree with you. If no one agrees with you, then like, whatever, fine. Maybe it's just an impediment for you. Yeah.
That's actually move on.
It's an easier problem to solve because it's just you. But usually, right, usually there's like a broader thing going on. And, you know, even insofar as like it might be a very frustrating situation, if the facilitation or the removal of the impediment is, let's just say, not possible, just having the kind of like commiseration, you know, like we're all going through the same thing together, so we're going to push through it as a team, and turning that sort of like negative into a positive, I think can sometimes be a great impediment removal, you know, technique.
Right. It's kind of like, hey, we're in the trenches together. We're behind on this deadline or over budget on this project, you know, whatever the feeling is. And, you know, when you're in the trenches together, it's an opportunity to build trust and camaraderie. So, you know, excellent point to try to capitalize on that and make it a positive for sure.
Yeah, but, you know, so much of it is sort of like you have to take an educated guess or a cognitive leap over where things are. One habit that the Scrum Masters have here at Alley is just every week or so, depending upon the team's cadence, we do a very quick, like 20-second or less happiness survey of the team. And yeah, and happiness is such like a squishy term, I guess, you know, but it's a really important metric as far as like the roots of Scrum are. Happier teams or more productive teams. So, you know, we want to know where things are going. And we really look at it through three lenses. And again, this is like a very quick shoot from the hip thing that we do every week. It's just a quick thing. I send out a Google Sheet and I'm like, hey, team, you know, answer these three questions on a scale of 1 to 5, 1 being like the worst and 5 being the best. How do you feel about your role? How do you feel about our Scrum team? How do you feel about Alley as a whole? And I've been doing that now for years and kind of keeping metrics on it. And I know when there's a number that goes way up or way down that as the Scrum Master, I want to bring that up at retro and see if people want to talk about it. If no one does, I don't force them. It's all anonymous, but it's just like one of those easy things to be like, oh, it seems like everyone is kind of down. Let's like talk about why that is and see if we can make it better.
Absolutely. Yeah, we do the same thing on our team, and it's funny how just a real quick survey like that can uncover so many impediments. You know, mm-hmm. It's just, hey, why is everybody kind of down and out this week? Like, what's going on? And if you have just that real quick 30-second survey, it can unlock all sorts of great conversations and help not only increase happiness, but like you said, increase velocity as well.
Yeah, I mean, since we're not dealing with like sort of like quantitative data, it's really just really like a conversation starter. Having mm-hmm. that to be a really lightweight survey gets you more information than if you had some long 10-page like advanced survey with answers and everything. It's just, hey, are you 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5, you know? Yeah. And what's interesting is that when the person, their role, how do you feel about your role and their numbers are low, it's usually what I find anecdotally is their kind of like self-esteem or their like sense of self-worth is low. I feel like they're not doing a good job. It's like totally like self-critical. And what that does is if you have a team that's psychologically safe and they feel safe bringing up and giving context around that, the whole team can rally around that person and say like, no, you helped me just this week in so many ways, this, and this. And it really like buoys the team and drives teamwork even further.
Yeah. I've seen that happen before too, where somebody will answer that question with like a 1 or a 2. And we dive into that a little bit and come to find out it's like, yeah, I'm just kind of in over my head. I haven't dealt with this, you know, particular problem that I'm facing before with this client or this ticket or whatever it is. And then and come to find out the whole team's right there to get you back, help out, you know. But those are impediments in my mind that, you know, had we not sent that survey, would have gone unaddressed, you know. Mm-hmm. And then you take something that could be, you know, just an impediment for a day or two, maybe, you know, if we do it every week, okay, then we're talking, you know, 5 workdays max versus, and that could, you know, string out to be months of somebody feeling that way and just not saying anything. So those are the types of things like that survey. Those are the types of things that I think separate good Scrum Masters from great Scrum Masters, to go out and find the things that people aren't saying.
Yeah. And so often it's, you know, not even about what people are saying, just what you kind of like sense or feel. You know, we work inside of a Slack workspace. So we're kind of available all the time to a certain extent, but obviously we're not always. But like so much of what I'm doing is alongside work, trying to like not only detect and determine, you know, through conversation, like where people might be getting stuck or frustrated, tone of voice in a written format, which is extra hard. But you learn that pretty quickly. But it's sort of like being that observation person or kind of driving it sometimes. You know, sometimes I'll try to like start a conversation by surreptitiously asking about a thing that I know is on people's minds. And then the team's like, yep, type. Like, we have a lot to say about this. Clearly we have to unpack it as a team, you know, on our next video retro.
Some other things that jump out to my mind is impediments that I see that happen almost in any organization, but aren't really talked about much, are things like technical debt. Yeah, that's stuff. That's an impediment, you know, that's going to slow the team down. We're going to have to come back and clean these things up. And it's basically us saying, well, we don't really want to do it this way, but okay, we can come back later. There's always later, right?
Yeah.
You know, that's an impediment. So like things like technical debt, maybe there is, maybe even things just like tooling, you know, maybe Jira doesn't do this thing or Trello doesn't do that thing or Slack, you know, or whatever tools that your team is using. Sometimes there's some hidden impediments in there that if we dive into sort of the workflow, we may uncover some things where we could gain kind of seconds and inches here and there.
Yeah, no, that's completely true. And, you know, whether you're in a client services environment or not, it's really important to be aware of all of that. Someone on my team always talks about how we spend, you know, half our time fixing the tools that we try to use to do our jobs as web developers. There's deployments, there's, you know, site builds, there's like all this stuff that goes on when you're pushing code from one place to another. And there's a reason for that. You know, the sites that we build today are very complex and there's multiple people working on them and they have to do a lot. So I understand why we have all these different kind of like Travis, you know, the compiler and stuff like that. What you can do, whether you're inside of a service organization or not, is make this visible to your quote unquote business contact, you know, the person who's not technical, who's working on the project, and say, oh gosh, you know, like we've tried to deploy code and it takes like 3 hours for it to get through all the whatever hoops and chutes and stuff that it has to go through. I think I could redo it in a way that'll make a lot of sense. And when we have new people come on or start working on the site, the initial onboarding and setup will be more streamlined. You know, look for those lighter kind of like times when you think you can like suggest this and be like, can we work on this? You know, ask if it's going to be a priority for everyone involved. And I've never had the experience where someone has said flat out, we will never work on this. It may be delayed by a sprint or two, but like folks get it. Folks understand this is like a complex monkey works of things that go into making websites. So if we can make those things more smooth, it makes work go faster. It makes developers more productive and more happy, which again, like sort of like is a self-fulfilling cycle of positivity and productivity.
Right. Yeah. When you're happy, you're going to perform at a higher level, you know?
Yeah. You're going to care.
Yeah. When you're not fighting with the tools, right? I mean, I think a lot about like, you know, like you had mentioned, hey, we want to do this thing. It will help us go more, better, faster. Mm-hmm. And when you can explain that to the stakeholder, because a stakeholder usually, you know, they think about their product, their end result, you know, they're not always focused on the team and removing impediments. So if you can bring those things up and say, here's how you are going to perform, you know, better, here's how you're going to get your end result more, better, faster, for sure, they'll hopefully be willing to meet us halfway there, you know, or like you said, maybe not this sprint, but maybe next sprint, we can start to address some of these performance enhancements or tooling enhancements or whatever, you know, to help the team. And in my mind, again, that's another impediment that often goes, you know, unaddressed on teams. It's like, well, it just always takes 3 hours to deploy code. It's how it has always been that way.
Right. Yeah. This is just how it goes, you know, like, and it's so funny. I was thinking about this as you were talking, like, the only real times I heard my father curse growing up was when he was working on something and like the hammer would slip or the screwdriver would like go out of the screw or the screw would just get stripped. Yeah, and I find myself doing the same things where like, you know, I'm not a saint or anything, but I'm certainly not a sailor as far as how I talk. But gosh, as soon as I start working with something like an Allen wrench or something, putting together some piece of furniture, it doesn't do what it's supposed to do. Like the, you had one job type of scenario. So frustrating.
It's frustrating. Yeah.
Yeah. And it makes it take longer and it's harder. I have a question for you, Ken. This is true in any work environment, but I think it's definitely true from my experience working in several agencies now over the years. Folks will experience burnout, even in the best of times when there's no, you know, world crisis or there's no sickness or no illness or whatever. People just get burned out. They're working a lot. There's a lot of deadlines. There's a lot of stress, a lot of pressure.
Right.
That's an impediment that I think can be under the surface for a long time before anything like it comes up or whatever. How do you, as a Scrum Master, like to deal, or how have you dealt with that in the past?
a couple things jump out to me is one, talk about it right off the bat. Just talk to your team about it. How is everybody doing? How's everybody feeling? One of the tools that I use for this that I kind of have in my Scrum Master toolbox is this idea of clearing before a meeting. You know, so right before we start our sprint planning or backlog refinement, or, you know, whatever ritual it is, I just like to ask the team, hey, real quick, what's on your mind? You don't have to share if you don't want to. It doesn't have to be work related. You know, it could be work related, but doesn't have to be. Yeah. And I just give everybody like a minute or two just to sort of ask those questions, like, hey, how's everybody doing? You know, and some folks are like, man, I'm just fired up, ready to get through the backlog, do some refinement. Let's do this. Other times it's, you know, man, I didn't sleep well last night. This thing happened. The dog ran away. This happened, you know, all, you know, life, right, just comes up. And if I see enough of that, then I ask, like, is this a good time to have this meeting? I know we need to, and we will, but maybe just not right now. Should we postpone an hour, 2 hours, something like that? Just give the team a chance to sort of talk about what's going on. Mm-hmm. The other thing I do is I try to lead by example in that way. Like, as a Scrum Master on a team, we like to remove impediments, be there for our team, you know, doing all of these things to try to help, you know, the team, right? That's our main focus. But at some point, to burnout, like you said, that is an impediment. And I think there are times every year, I like in the fall, especially like when the leaves are turning, I like to say, hey, I'm taking a week off, you know, whatever dates they are, right? It's whenever the leaves turn. And I go backpacking for a week. It's just me in a one-man tent and a sleeping bag and a backpack. And I just go and I just check out. I say, I need that. I actually, a lot of times, I love my family to death. I have a wife, four kids, you know, love them dearly. But even for me, like, I just need that time away, you know?
You know, two things I think come to mind from what you just shared. One, sort of like the clearing idea, is great. And sometimes I don't even couch it in, how are you? How are you doing? I couch it in just like, hey, before we get started, let's take a couple minutes. Is there anything folks want to say or talk about or ask about before we really get into it? And then just be quiet and like just like let the silence sit. It's taken me a long time in my life to feel okay with silence. You know what I mean? Like, ask a question and then just like don't do anything and see. And eventually people will start talking. Sometimes it's out of guilt. They feel awkward. That's how I get this one person on my team to always volunteer to take on these really onerous, difficult tickets in JIRA. Is that like, I'll ask, hey, is there any volunteers for this? And I'll just wait. And eventually, like, he will just crack and be like, I can't take it anymore. I'll do it. And it's like, great. You should just, you know, do that anyway. It's great. And then you do a good job. You feel good at the end of it. And it kind of helps everybody out. But that waiting for that silence is really important. But having it be totally freeform can help a little bit with burnout. You know, the other thing, though, again, is like, there's the burnout that you're aware of or that makes sense once you give people a chance to talk. And then there's the, how do you like handle or deal with the fact that you know everyone's burned out or like no one's happy? You know what I mean? Like, everyone's really grumpy or everyone's like, you know, really hating on a project or like a code base or whatever. Just like, it kind of happens and they stack up, and what do you do? And one thing that I've done previously was that my team was going through a lot of launches in quick succession, and we were doing it. We were like delivering everything we had to deliver, but we were like miserable for it. And we weren't working like 175 hours a week or anything, but it was just like constant, like every second of the day was spent churning and chugging. And like, how do you deal with that? And, you know, I floated this idea to the team, and the team kind of was like, yeah, we can handle this like business-wise and everything. Was like, let's just take like one day in the next sprint. It ended up being like an 8-point ticket, but I'll say like just one day, because that's what it's kind of netted out to be in this case. Just take one day in the next sprint. I'm going to make you a ticket, internal ticket assigned to you. And I call it do what you want. Mm-hmm. D-dub, Y-dub. And it's like, you can do whatever you want with this time, like effort that you want to expend. I only ask two things. One, it should be somehow related to work. Like, don't go and catch up on Hulu or something. Like, really, that's not what we're doing. Sure. And two, just report back. And we'll have a demo at the end of it to see like what everyone worked on over the next couple of weeks or whatever. And the team was like, well, what do we do? Like, how do we do this? And I was like, I don't know. Just, you now have time. You have like a breather, basically.
Right.
Like amidst all the other stuff that's going on. Like, we still met all of our business requirements. We still met all of our launch dates, but we had this as well. And what was interesting to me is, A, the team was really appreciative. They were like, oh, that's good. I was really feeling burned out. I'm like, yeah, I could, you know, when someone's in a bad mood, you know when someone's tired or not themselves or whatever. Some folks used it to like research stuff that was going to be useful to client projects mm-hmm. in the future. They chose to, they wanted to, and they just like did all the like notes about it and everything. And it was a great resource for the whole team. Other folks worked on tech-based passion projects. Someone on our team was building a chess application, like how you play chess with checkers with your computer, but it was built using like, I'm going to say it's React.js and I'm probably wrong, but it was like some type of JavaScript library to build a computer, you versus the computer checkers match. And it was great. And I was like, no one will ever ask us to build this for them. Like, it'll never come up in our client services, but using the technology, going through this problem solving process, and then demoing what you've done mm-hmm. was just like invaluable, I think, both to our client base and the experience that we got as a team, but also to this person to help them get over the feeling of just being really burned out.
It reminds me, a while back, our team, we had some deadlines that were just not negotiable. Like they just could not move. And that happens, you know, in project land from time to time, right? You do everything you can to work around those, you know, planning and cutting scope if necessary, you know, whatever you need to do, right? But sometimes you just kind of, these deadlines just can't be moved, right? So we had a season there where we were working overtime trying to hit these deadlines. And what I brought up was, okay, the launch of this thing is, golly, whatever the date was, I don't remember, June 1st, right? Whatever it was, June 1st, July 1st, something. And we just said, okay, so once that thing launches, you know, we'll kind of keep an eye on it, you know, maintenance, whatever, make sure it doesn't blow up the internet, right? And then after that, who's going to take PTO first? Who's going to go on vacation first? And then it was like on our team, it was almost like, it wasn't mandatory, but everybody went on vacation. It was like, I'm going to take a week, and then I'm going to take a week, and then you'll take a week, and then, you know, and we'll rotate through that just to make sure everybody had time off. And what was cool is all of the stakeholders, all of our clients were like, well-deserved, go ahead and take it. We made it very clear though, like this overtime, what we're doing, that isn't the standard, you know, because burnout is an impediment. We can't continue to run at 100 miles an hour for now until forever. Like eventually we're going to collapse. So we can get you to June 1st and then we need to tap out and start taking some vacation.
Yeah, and that's getting ahead of an impediment, right? Before it becomes, you know, dire situation, as it were.
Another thing that I've noticed too over the years is organizational constraints that come up. It's something, the way that the organization operates, that causes an impediment, and that could be, you know, this idea of burnout, right? I'll just kind of use that as an example. It's like, well, because of these deadlines, we're not approving any time off between this date and this date, right? Well, if you have folks that are really burned out and unhappy and not performing well, that's an impediment. Or, you know, maybe it's some way the organization is set up, right? And I'm sure if we all stopped and thought about it, we would think of, you know, several examples, right, where we've seen just the organization, the process of work itself is not conducive to moving more, better, faster. I think those are the times where Scrum Masters need to be brave and challenge upwards and point out that, hey, the way we are doing things, by not approving time off, by setting, you know, these standards in the organization or whatever, this is an impediment that will have negative long-lasting effects.
And thinking about how do we make these hidden impediments, or like these impediments that we're not even aware of, visible. Talking about it is great. I love the idea of just open communication. A different way to back into it, if you're talking about like a workflow, for example. Mm-hmm. I remember on a project we were mapping a workflow, a publication workflow. We wanted to like, okay, you have this idea. or these various, you know, parts of the organization have these ideas or things they want to get online. How does it go? Like, what's the route? Let's just draw it. Well, let's do a mind map or a mind tree or whatever. So we need a mind map of it. And you're drawing, okay, so there's the people over here and they're creating these types of things and these people are creating those. Okay, cool. That's great. You know, like draw the line. Where does it go next? Well, then it has to go to like this, you know, whatever, the public affairs office and make sure they go with that. And we're drawing all these lines and making all these connections. And it's getting closer to the end where it's just like it's on the website. But what was also happening was not only were the lines getting closer to that finish line, they were converging. They were like moving towards like a nexus point. And what no one really like copped to own or like didn't see as a problem until like it became a clear problem that we have to solve was that every single piece of content in this organization flowed through literally like a single person to post to the website. One person was in charge of that final step.
Yeah, that's a bottleneck.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, this poor woman was – and even though people might know that, when you see like an entire – we were in person at the time, an entire whiteboard top to bottom filled with all this like writing, all these lines shaping, just going down to this little tiny minuscule point, it just becomes really apparent to people that maybe don't get it. They're like, oh, it's not even a problem with like the website or the tooling. It's a problem with like – staffing or access permissions to edit, or how do you like make like widen that bottleneck? And you know, sometimes you have to make things visible by literally like drawing a picture just to kind of show where things are going.
Yeah, I did that a couple years ago with this organization where we were trying to solve a problem of things would make it almost out to production and then they'd have to go back for rework. And so we booked a conference room for a week. This sounds awful, but it was really useful. We booked a conference room for an entire week and we mapped out the entire process on sticky notes. You know, we had sticky notes going.
Classic Scrum, like classic imagery.
Oh, yeah. It was great. And it went all the way around the room, all four walls, right? And we were like, okay, so we write user stories. Okay. And do those user stories get approved by a product owner? Yes, they do. Okay. So they could go back for yes. Okay. So we took an orange sticky note and drew a circle, like a circle arrow of like, mm-hmm. This could go back. And then we went through our entire process. Well, it goes to QA for testing. Okay. That could go back. It goes over to the stakeholder for final review. It could go back. And we did all the, you know, code reviews. It could go back. And so we mapped out all of this whole process. And by the end of the week, by the end of Wednesday, we had everything mapped out. And we had like something like 26 orange sticky notes that could make it almost out to production and then have to go all the way back to the beginning. And then the rest of our time was to figure out, now how do we solve that problem to where the feedback loop is only once or twice and it's right away, so that we can blaze through the rest of the process. And sometimes to remove organizational impediments like that, it takes booking a conference room for a week, getting all the right stakeholders in the room, and using a lot of sticky notes, you know?
Yeah, no, but I mean, that even works on a micro scale. You know, like sometimes what will happen is you're in your stand-up, everyone's going through, talking about what they're working on, maybe problems or struggles they're having, and I don't know if it's most, I was going to say most, I don't know if it's true, but often I find that folks are a little bit reticent to say like, I need help with this. They may talk about a difficult thing that they're trying to work on or struggling with, but I can say like, I need someone to help me because I can't, you know, I can't do this or whatever. No one wants to say like, I can't in a work environment. Everyone wants to be like, I am totally a great team player and I will never need help. And like, which I get, I feel the same way, you know, asking for help is a difficult thing, but knowing when someone ought to, or could be asking for help is a good skill, like a listening skill to put into place when someone's like, mm-hmm. Oh, this thing, it's really tough, you know, but I'm going to get it, but it's been really frustrating me today or whatever. Sometimes all you have to suggest is like, hey, what if we got on a Zoom call with like person over there who I know knows about this stuff, or me, and we just talk it through a little bit more at a longer length, you know, rather than a stand up. And, you know, that's rubber ducking, where like you just start talking about what's going on and all of a sudden the person has like that epiphany who's like, oh, never mind, I know what to do. It's like, as soon as you start talking about something and you figure it out yourself, that'll happen. But sometimes you have to like make the space or suggest it. I've done where at the start of a sprint where there's a lot of stuff that folks are nervous about after planning, I'll be like, hey, for the first half of tomorrow, I'm going to have office hours and we can just work together in silence. We could ask questions. You know, I'm going to join. Like, who else would want to join? As soon as people start volunteering, I'm like, yeah, I'll come on. All of a sudden, like half the team is there working and then asking pointed questions and moving more quickly and kind of moving through it. But like, you have to make the space or make that happen. You can't always just expect people to tell you what they need, because usually what the people think they need as far as help is incorrect. They're like looking at the wrong thing, you know?
Great example right there of like getting out of impediments before they even know they have them, right? Is if you hear those things in sprint planning, I've done something similar where we're in sprint planning and we see, oh man, there's not anything crazy about these tickets. I just have some questions about that. Like, how am I going to code that thing? Or what am I going to do in that way? It's nothing that would stop us from pulling it into a sprint, but you can tell like I'm uneasy about that being there, you know? And we're like, if I could find those things, if I could hear those comments and conversations happening, then I'm like, okay, hey, it sounds like that's a good candidate to swarm on this week. So, you know, would the two of you like to pair on this? And yeah, that'd be great. You know, sweet. And all of a sudden, you know, that anxiety drops, that fear drops, and we're building camaraderie. We have more teamwork. Things are moving forward and stakeholders are happy because we're getting their work done.
As far as hunting for impediments, I think hunting for the right or the true or the deeper impediment is really important. You know, sometimes folks bring a problem and they say like, I'm blocked. This is the situation. Like, I'm totally stuck. We need to do this and it'll fix it and it'll be great. When teams get really stressed out, sometimes they'll be like, oh, we have so much work. I know what we need to do. We have too many meetings. So let's just like get rid of every meeting that we have. No more stand up, no more refinement, no more anything. Let's just like do work and then we'll be fine.
Why is that always the default? It's always because drop the daily stand up.
Yeah. Because, you know? Historically, like, meetings are awful. And it's like, well, all you're doing is making things more difficult for yourself when you chuck all that out. Really, what we might have to do is do the 5 whys protocol. Have you done that before?
Yeah.
And it's really basic. It's like, hey, we have to drop all of our meetings. Why? Because I don't have enough time to get my work done. I want to get all my work done. Why? I'm sick, or like, I don't have the right code base, or whatever. Or maybe those rituals, like your stand-up is like an hour and a half long or something, and it really ought to be 15 minutes where it's really focused. And so like, you get down to the root cause of things, like the root analysis of like what the true problem is that you should fix, and then the fixes, you know, propagate outward. But yeah, like, sometimes people ask for help in the wrong way. It's like, oh, I'm really cold, so, you know, I'm going to put on my jacket in the house. Or maybe you should just turn the heat up a little bit, like 2 ticks, you know? Like, sometimes that'll fix the problem too, and maybe it'll be better.
Don't sit underneath the fan. Yeah.
Move away from the window, please.
Right. Yeah. No, I think we hit on a lot of good stuff there, but I think the idea that I wanted to communicate today to everyone listening, it was just, everything and anything should be on the table when it comes to removing impediments. Don't just wait for someone to raise a hand and say, I'm stuck. You know, get out ahead as much as you can and be looking, you know, under every little rock that you could find, right? There's probably something there that you could optimize for your team that your team and the organization and your stakeholders would probably be really happy that you did that.
Yeah, and that reminds me of something that I thought of earlier when you were speaking. You know, as a scrum master for our jobs, right? We're here to facilitate impediment removal for the team. What is so often overlooked is that the scrum master is a member of the team. Therefore, our impediments should also be facilitated to be removed. You know, like, sometimes scrum masters, you know, want to just be like the sort of like emotionless, like, calm person. Be like, I'm going to stay really calm and not express any emotion in this like stressful situation. And I'll help the team out by doing that. When really it's like, if you're in a stressful situation, like, feeling stress is what you're supposed to do. Like, when something sad happens, you should feel sad. When something is stressful, you should feel stressed. Acting like you don't just makes it seem like you're not invested. You know, similarly, it goes down to like scrum masters who want to be like the like cheerleader kind of, like, always like, yep, everyone, as long as everyone's happy, I'm doing my job. Even though, like, you translate doing happy as like taking them at face value, be like, we're really upset. This, again, that's that meeting thing. It's like, we're so mad and unhappy. We have all these meetings, like, remove them. And then you're like, all right, I'll remove that impediment for you, just how you said, no problem. And it's like the wrong Yeah, impediment it's the to wrong remove.
Thing, yeah.
Yeah, you have to like be like kind of like critical with all of it. But it's really important too when the Scrum Master is going through some stuff to like bring it to the team. Be like, oh, I'm really stressed out about this thing or whatever, or this client or that project or what have you. And I've had really good conversations with my team about stuff that I'm stressed out about that I don't want to quote unquote burden them with. But people want to be part of a team and you're a member of it.
Yeah, I always want folks on my team to feel like they get to be on a team with their biggest fan. You know, I always want them to know like, man, my Scrum Master's got my back. He's my cheerleader. You know, Ken just really helps, you know, helps remove impediments for me. And, you know, I want them to feel that way. But at the same time, I'm not afraid to let them struggle a little bit. Ask them why five different times, you know, to get to the root cause of it, of whatever their impediment they think they have. Simon Sinek said one time, and this always stuck with me, he's like, you know, when you think about folks that you lead, and Scrum Masters, you know, on a team, you know, there's no like team leader, but, you know, it is, we are in a position of influence, right? So you could argue that that influence is leadership, right? So, but Simon Sinek said one time, you know, what do you want for your kids? You know, it's the same thing for the folks that, you know, work on your teams with you. What do you want for them? Success, opportunity, you know, discipline and correction when necessary, you know, but if you think of it through that lens, you know, and those who don't have kids, you know, if you just think about like your friends and your family, like, what do you want for them? Well, I want them to succeed. I want them to have opportunity for growth and, you know, and yes, discipline and correction when necessary, because at some degree, you know, that is healthy to kind of stumble through some problems from time to time and learn. But that always stuck with me as a Scrum Master too, you know, knowing like, when do I jump in and help? And when do I just sort of let this one play out?
Yeah. Even like something that's like, a little silly, like technical thing. It's like, hey, oh my gosh, I have to do this thing. Can you make me a ticket? And we've built it now where you can make Jira tickets inside of Slack. So I'm just like, yeah, feel free to, you know, use the command and make this that ticket, no problem. Or like, just send me words and I'll do it. But like, you don't want to kind of be enabling in a limiting way, I suppose, is what it comes down to. I know we're running kind of long here on this episode, but one thing that we didn't talk about yet is how do you kind of ferret out or bring an impediment. There's like the knowledge of an impediment. Then there's the having an impediment in a place where you can now work on removing it or improving it. You know, sometimes the hunting is finding things that are there. And other times it's, you can't fix what people don't acknowledge, I guess is what it comes down to. Like there's the problems you can't fix, but then there's the like interpersonal or difficult situations where it would be easier to ignore it or just chalk it up as like, you know, if someone's got a bad attitude, be like, well, that's just them. They have a bad attitude. Like, that's just who they are. Like, no problem. And if there are those types of things going on that are interrupting the team and causing like a low-level current of, you know, dissonance the entire time, sometimes you have to employ radical candor and talk to someone directly about what's going on.
Yeah, and rarely I have found is it an issue with the actual team members itself. You know, it's usually some outside factor. And if you can name it and have enough psychological safety on your teams to just go ahead and state the obvious, everybody knows it. Everybody sees it. Just go ahead and say it. Now it's out in the open. Now we can fix the problem, you know?
Yeah. Sometimes that's like naming it privately amongst two people, if it's a difficult situation or if it's different, if it's more generalized, you know, it's like, hey team, I feel like this is going on. Like people seem really like negative towards like this project and it's making me feel like the project is at risk. There's something that we have to talk about, blah, blah, blah kind of stuff. So like, yeah, there are different ways, there's different contexts of doing it, but putting things, making things plain, making things visible is just the core to so much stuff in Scrum and always allows you to improve and know where things are at.
Once you see it, once it's named, you can tackle it. You can remove the impediment and get your team moving again, get velocity back up where it needs to be. Thanks, everybody, for joining us today for Two Scrums Up. And thank you, John, for joining and talking about removing impediments. Hope you found it helpful. I know I did. John, why don't you tell everyone what is the Fibonacci number of the day?
Thanks, Ken. I had a good time talking today. And let me just check here. The Fibonacci number of the day is 1. Just give him a minute to go break all the glasses in the dining room, and then he'll be fine.
You're going to do great.
Okay. Sort of like, and I'm going to start real soon. The end. Like, we're done. That's it.